Hi, everybody, and welcome to another new edition of Live from Pawnee. I'm Alan, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Mark. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm Mark, and I'm doing good over here, and always with me is Alan.
Yeah, the guy across from me.
Yep.
Yeah, him. Well, actually, we've been sitting here for a little while today, right? Because we're doing our second episode of the day. I think we kind of mentioned last week that we would be doing a back-to-back on the recording side. So we're here now doing 7.6, season 7, episode 6, Save JJ's.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, this stool is not as comfortable as it looks after this long.
Well, there's that, and there's also the fact that I'm starting to really crash. I need some more Arbucks coffee.
Yeah, it's fading out.
Yeah.
Speaking of fading out, I noticed that you didn't shut down Robonstantine. Are you any concerns over that?
He's got a little screen burn in.
Oh, okay.
I think that his screensaver for some reason wasn't coming on.
Oh, did you fix it?
Yeah, it's just this floating onion in space. Just bounces off the edges.
Kind of like the little DVD thing?
Yes, exactly.
Do people scream and get excited when it lands in the perfectly in the corner?
Oh, yeah. I wait for that.
You know what happens?
No.
It explodes and turns into onion rings.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I haven't stared at it long enough.
Yeah.
To be honest, it makes me nervous to be around him that long.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so speaking of the robotic, assistants, what about Carvey? You got a Carvey update for us?
It's weird because he's still not working. The R&D department is still working feverishly trying to do something with him. The last update we got was he was backwards compatible with the Sony PlayStation.
Right.
Now I think they're taking a different tack. So remember how in the first Iron Man movie, they put Tony Stark in a cage
in a cave.
And they gave him some technology and he kind of like cobbled together a very primitive but functional.
The Mark One
initial Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to make some sort of Iron Man suit out of Carvey.
That'd be great.
It turns out it's not really made for an Iron Man suit. No. So it's just heavy.
It's just heavy.
Yeah.
Useless weight.
Yeah. It's just useless weight.
Yeah. We can relate to that.
Yes, we can.
We've known some of those in our lives.
Mayday.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I would mention that this episode, season 7, episode 6, Save JJ's, also first aired on January 20th, much like the episode before it that we covered last week. And this is, the NBC leadoff shows were 8 and 8:30. And this is the, third week in a row that NBC has paired two back-to-back episodes?
That sounds right.
I think in season 7. So I think that's mostly going to be how they're going to finish this through the run, maybe minus 1 week where there's a standalone episode.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they chunked through season 7 in less than 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And season 12, there is no season 12. Well, there is, but it's secret. Episode 12, for the conspiracy theorists out there, episode 12 isn't like a full hour, right? On network time anyway. So that's why they did it that way. So interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And we're after today's show, we're halfway through the season.
That's right.
That's insanity.
It is insanity.
Yeah, it's getting a little scary, actually. I don't know what I'm going to do when this is all done.
I don't either.
Yeah. Clean my garage. I know I've been told that's happening.
I mean, look, we've got all this time and money invested in this LFP Worldwide headquarters. Sure. And I mean, it would be a shame to have to dismantle everything.
I mean, is the studio just going to get like cobwebs on it? Like what's going
to
happen?
Can we just sublet it to a Subway? Like, I don't know what to do with it.
That's a podcast about Subway. That would be terrific.
If anyone wants to, I'll be hanging at Subway.
Thank you, John Hamm. Love it. Well, Mark, for this episode, we've got our director. Our golden megaphone goes to Mr. Ken Whittingham.
Nice.
Who we've had on the show.
Yes, we have.
Kenny Witt on Instagram, if you will. And this is his 6th of 7 episodes he ultimately directed. He's actually back next week with Donna and Joe, and that's his final episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I sent him a note. I realized just kind of looking him up again, been a minute. Because we talked to him,
a long time ago,
2 years ago.
Yeah.
He and I shared the same birthday, which at the time I somehow missed.
Huh.
So anyway, I sent him a belated birthday message. Yeah. But our golden pen this week goes to Joe Mandy, Mr. Morris Lerpus, AKA.
Yes.
And I believe he's in this episode again today, or maybe he's got one more episode as Morris, as I understand it.
Yeah. Maybe near the end.
Yeah. I think it might be near the end. Well, hey, Mark, then instead of wasting time, we did a lot of that last week.
Mm.
Let's just get right into it. Why don't you get us into our synopsis?
Yeah, let's just get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. Synopsis is incoming. I I see you getting your finger over the I see that you get
it has
ready
nothing
to, do
to do with what you're
X
about to say.
I think you think I might be wrong. I broke this. Let's say I don't know what to say. Let's say 2.
Holy cow.
I was worried for nothing.
Never doubted it for a second. Unbelievable.
But you know why I was concerned, right? It's a little
you worry
weird.
A lot.
Well, I do worry a lot, but it's weird structurally.
Yes.
There's like splinters that don't go very far. They aren't full storylines.
I deliberated whether to make it 3.
Yeah.
But I thought that 2 of the potential 3.
Tom Lucy?
No.
See? That was one of my considerations. What was your consideration?
Well, you got the JJ.
Yeah.
And then you got the land.
Yeah. Oh, I see. You kind of broke those. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, no, I can see it. And we'll talk more about that as we get into the episode. But
yeah, there's a lot of ways that potentially this could have been divided.
That's fair. That's a good point.
All right. So I broke it down to 2 stories. I think you did too, ultimately.
Yep.
And so I have my A story is entitled, because see, I didn't want to just go JJ's Diner. Mm. I didn't just want to go the Newport land parcel. So what I said is this, I says, Leslie and Ron versus the Evil League of Evil.
I love it.
Yeah. Kind of tip of the hat to Dr. Horrible.
Dr. Horrible. I love it.
All right.
Yeah. One of the only good things to come out of the COVID pandemic. Yeah.
You mean the writer's strike in 2008?
That's what I meant to say. Yes.
Yeah. Like way, way long ago. So like you can't keep track of
it
time.
It was
and stuff.
That long ago.
God. It was. It was a long, long, long time ago.
I think the reason that was stuck in my brain was because during the COVID pandemic, I kind of felt like we were there again. And I was kept thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice to get Dr. Horrible episode 2 finally?
Yeah.
But unfortunately.
I think they did that.
What?
I think they did that. Like, I think they made a Dr. Horrible album with more songs.
Did they really?
I'm not making this up.
Okay. I got to go check this out after the show.
Right.
I'm going to be fully distracted for the rest of the show.
We'll learn if I made this up or not.
All right. Fair enough.
You want to pause and look at it?
No. No, I'm going to look it up after the show.
All right. All right, so Leslie and Ron versus the Evil League of Eagle.
Nice tip of the hat.
Yeah, yes. Here we go. With Pawnee angry at Grizzle, largely, for their invasion of privacy while data mining, Leslie senses weakness, and she wants to capitalize on it. Unfortunately, before they can do so, Jessica Wicks makes a live announcement on behalf of the Newport Trust, saying that despite them being upset with Grizzle, it turns out Grizzle upped their bid to $125 million and Jessica Wicks folded like a cheap tent and agreed to sell the land parcel for a buttload of cash. That's what she says.
Buttload.
Leslie and the gang are crestfallen and go to JJ's Diner to drown their sorrows in breakfast food, which seems apropos, but even this doesn't relieve their stress totally as they are all too sadly aware that JJ's will be closing. However, when they learn the main reason for the diner closing, the new landlord, cologne mogul Dennis Feinstein, is not letting JJ renew his lease.
Jesus.
Well, now Leslie and the gang are going to focus their frustration regarding the lost land parcel towards saving JJ's Diner from extinction.
Yeah.
While Leslie organizes a public rally outside of Dennis Feinstein's building with the goal to save JJ's Diner, Andy and his tiny ninja helpers go upstairs to meet with Dennis Feinstein himself in an attempt to persuade him to reconsider. And surprisingly, after Dennis sees the amount of people gathered outside his building, he agrees to come down and address the crowd. What will happen? What does Dennis Feinstein say to the protesters? Can Andy and his ninja helpers do anything else to seek justice with Dennis Feinstein? Have Leslie and the gang really lost the Newport land parcel? Is there any way Leslie can save either the land parcel, JJ's Diner, or both?
Or her soul. Oh, sorry.
Will Ron and Leslie ever work out their handshakes? Stay tuned to find out. ...
Nice job. I'm with you. I felt like this was definitely a big A story. And
it
was about multiple things ultimately. But, you know, I went with NBC. Technically, this is about saving JJ's, right? It just all kind of thematically ties together. So my AKA was Saving Private Fryan.
Very, very nice. So,
I guess it's movie related this week until it's not. So how about your B story, Mark?
My B story, I should say, you know how sometimes I count the scenes?
Yeah.
So I had, of a total of really, I counted it as 18 scenes. They're kind of large in this one. The A story had 12 of them. The B story had 6. So it was definitely far and away the, like the largest story.
It's like A and B.
Right. Yeah. Like capital A and lowercase B.
Lowercase B, yeah.
All right, lowercase B story. I have entitled Treat Yourself 2017.
Nice. Yeah. Mine's close.
Tom surprises Donna during a routine cake testing for her wedding with a treat yourself day trip to Beverly Hills. Donna is overjoyed and immediately accepts. As they prepare to take off for their day trip, Tom awkwardly asks Lucy to accompany him to Donna's wedding, but leaves with the situation kind of up in the air as to actually like what the nature of them going together is and where their relationship is and all that awkward stuff. As Tom and Donna peruse the wonders of Beverly Hills, they splurge on many extravagant items while enjoying each other's company, as is apropos for Treat Yourself Day. However, despite them having a good time, Donna can tell Tom is a bit distracted with the whole Lucy situation. How will this turn out? What is Donna's Treat Yourself gift to Tom? Does Lucy end up going to Donna's wedding as Tom's plus one? How fancy does Tom look after having his session with the Elbow Art Salon? Stick around, podcast viewers. All will be revealed. ...
I love it. The fact that we're in the future, you know, obviously, clearly here.
Yeah.
And elbow art is the new craze.
Amazing.
I'm just glad it didn't come true.
Me too.
Yeah. Mark, how about your AKA for this one?
Again, how about them
AKA? I know AKAs. You're a good boy and you only did one.
I only am a good boy and did one. And this is from my man crush, Ron Swanson. Uh-oh. And so this is the where they're in the JJ's diner and they say like, hey, we got to save JJ's diner.
Sure.
And Leslie goes, hey, let's save JJ's diner. And then Ron says, I can't think of anything more noble to go to war over than bacon and eggs.
Nice job.
Yeah.
That's such a great AKA.
It is.
I should have chose that. Oh, wait, I chose that.
Oh, yeah. Really? I'd like to bring down the lights for a second.
Please do.
Have a real moment. Yeah. So you are a vegetarian.
I am a vegetarian.
I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know why you're doing this to yourself, but you've been a vegetarian for like 30 years.
Almost.
A long, long
27
time.
Years.
And, yeah. And you're pretty reliably, like, you don't like go on and off.
We eat fish and eggs, so I'm not a full vegetarian.
Right,
I'm
you
a
hate
pescotarian.
Them, but,
and right. Vegans are stupid. I do agree with that. Because I was one for a year and it was horrible.
But like, so you have tasted bacon in your life.
Let me tell you a story, Mark.
Oh, I can't wait. Go.
So yes. And I actually liked bacon. My wife really didn't, so she doesn't miss it. We got a salad from this
really liked her good. Too. That's all right.
Right. You used to like her. We get a salad like from, you know, with like pasta from this really good pasta place. Mm-hmm. You and I have both been there. Maggiano's, I think it's a chain. A lot of people have been there.
Yeah.
So the salad, I, you know, said, don't give me any of that bacon. I don't want that.
Mm.
Well, about a third of the way into the salad, I couldn't figure out why it tasted so damn good. And I'm like, I realized with a mouthful pretty much that this bacon was in my mouth for the first time at that point, probably in 22.
Did that cause havoc with you?
Well, that's the risk, right? I don't.
Because if your system isn't used to a certain food.
It will react. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So I had to like do the polite thing in the napkin discreetly because otherwise it would have wrecked me. But I realized that day, if I ever am not a vegetarian, I'm going straight there and getting that salad. This like Cobbish salad. And I'm heading back to Bloomington, Indiana, where I went to school, to a place called Buffalo Louis to get their chicken wings.
That is funny.
Like, those are the two things that I think if I were to eat meat tomorrow, I would go eat. Like, they just, you know. But that generally, in the plant-based world we're living in now, it's a lot easier to be a vegetarian than it was when I first became one in Indiana.
Right.
And speaking of salad, we'd go to restaurants. I'd say, do you have anything without meat? And they'd give me first, they'd look at me like, did what? Like a deer in the headlights. I got 9 eyes, you know? And then they'd go, they'd think for a second and they'd go, we have salad. I had so many effing salads, Mark. I can't even tell you. I don't even want to eat a salad anymore. I've almost recovered and want to eat salad again.
This session of Live from Pawnee is brought to you by Dr. Richard Nygaard. Richard Nygaard.
Hey, you sent us down this path.
For all you vegetarians out there. Now, you know what? The reason I brought this up is, and that's a fabulous story, by the way, but I know that you've said to me several times that even when you're, and most of the time you're very, very good about staying within your paradigm for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you've said, and yet, if you wake up in the morning and you smell bacon,
oh, it smells good.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Like even you are like, yes, bacon is amazing.
I'm pretty sure it's in our DNA, Mark. There's no getting around it. Well, and to that point, I've found a really good bacon substitute that I really like. I put it on our, so we get Impossible meat. It looks like hamburger meat now. Right. You can actually make a patty, hamburger. You know, made with your hands, put some Worcestershire sauce in it, put it in the skillet and fry it like a normal. And then I've got the bacon I put on there. Mm-hmm. It makes it, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to tell you, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference because I'm not that naive.
Right.
But I think you would eat and go, gosh, this is pretty good.
That was roughly my reaction when I tried I think it was Burger King.
Yeah, the Impossible Whopper.
I tried the Impossible Whopper. I'm just like, Ellen's so stupid, like this whole vegetarian thing. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to eat this just so I can tell him to go honk Herman.
Right.
And I ate it and I'm like, I'm embarrassed how much I
can't
like
even
this.
Call him now. Yeah.
I was amazed.
Yeah. No, it is. And I'm happy for other people who are even more vegetarian than me that those options are out there now, because we at least had fish, but you can only eat that so often.
Right.
I mean, truly, there are risks about eating that much fish because sadly, way our waterways are. But,
right.
You know, it's just, anyway, kick the soapbox aside. So the funny thing about this whole thing is we chose the same AKA on the week that I made no backups.
Oh, wow.
Like in the last episode, I had like four just in case we had the same one this week. No. So
that's funny.
I can't think of anything more noble to go to war over than bacon and eggs.
He's not wrong. I love that.
It's great. It's a t-shirt.
Yes, it is.
It really is. Well, nice job, Mark. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get into our breakdown.
All right. Well, you know what? We should probably, before we do that, we should probably turn back over here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, I know that you've been on screensaver mode, buddy, but we gotta like, let me boot you off, and then we'll turn you back on just to be safe. What?
Sorry. Decorum, Alan, decorum.
All right, Constantine, I'm going to boot you off here. I promise this isn't going to hurt a bit. All right, here, power down.
Oh, thank God it worked. I was so uncomfortable.
Oh, that's amazing. That's everything I thought could be. Okay,
now
let's power you back on.
Well, we got to count to five. That's what I always tell people. Unplug it, count to five, and plug it back
cover
in.
Cover the stuff. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Robonstantine online.
Oh, thank goodness.
All right. Well, I mean, if that's all I know about computers, you just reboot them and it all works again.
He didn't appreciate being booted off, but he's okay now.
He's okay now. He asked for a little warning next time. All right.
He's smoking a cigarette now. Oh,
that's so weird. Okay. This is a family show, kids. All right. Tell you what, Mark, let's get into our breakdown now.
All right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so we have, let's break it down.
All right.
So we have a cold open, very good place to start. We start at Tom's Bistro, where a cake tasting is taking place in preparation for Donna and Joe's wedding. And specifically, we see Tom addressing Donna and Joe and Jerry as they taste various wedding cakes selected by Craig, who is standing to the side looking on.
Robonstantine? Start us off, buddy. Play the clip.
In front of you are six different wedding cakes from the top restaurants in Pawnee. Sample each one and rank your two top favorites in the ballots provided.
Oh, boy. They're all so good. I can't pick just two.
Well, then you leave, Terry. Pay for the cake you already ate.
I like the vanilla one with the lemon cream.
That was a joke cake I got from the grocery store to weed out low-quality palates.
Maybe it's because he's my fiancé and I love him, but I kind of like the grocery store one, too.
There's actually one more cake you haven't tried yet. Donna has chosen me to be the butler of honor at her wedding. Now, granted, butler of honor is a term I made up, but it's not a job I take lightly. That's why I'm about to give her a surprise bigger than when LeBron went back to Miami.
Oh my God, DJ Blunts. What is happening right now?
I think you know what's happening.
But for real though, what's happening?
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself 2017.
Oh, it's for real. Okay. And it's the biggest one yet.
I still don't know what's happening, so what's happening?
Treat yourself.
Not an answer to my question.
Oh my God, read the cake.
Still unclear.
Tell you what, what's happening?
Treat yourself. It's the best day of the year.
Wow.
Oh my God. For me, the best part of that was Terry. So he's like, come on, treat yourself. What else could it mean?
Yeah. Not only did he get to say treat yourself, but they didn't like sneer at him like, you know, that Jerry, that's so stupid. You don't get to say that.
Well, he'd already been PBJ'd.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was trying to be nice and say these cakes are all good, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no good deeds goes without punishment if you're Terry.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Mark, from the cold open, we jump over to, are we at Pawnee Public Access again? I think everything.
Right now we're actually in Leslie's office, I think.
Oh, because it's they're a podcast. More specifically, the Trodcast.
The Trodcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is where Roscoe and Grizzle's data mining are being put under the spotlight.
That's right. That's right. We cut to the third floor of City Hall, where we see the gang. In this case, the gang consists of Leslie, Ben, Ron, April, and Andy. They're all in Leslie's office, and there's a TV turned on, and they're watching the Trodcast, where Trod Frankenstein, fun with names, is interviewing Roscoe Santangelo, Grizzle's VP of Cool New Shiz, interviewing him one-on-one, and he's taking him to task about Grizzle's invasion of privacy and how angry the town is and what Grizzle is going to do to win back their trust. Roscoe responds by announcing that Grizzle will be throwing a free concert with U2 and Beyonce.
Nice.
Not bad. Yeah. With tickets being automatically sent to everyone's phone. Well, this is not a bad move on Grizzle's part. Leslie smells blood in the water. Like Grizzle is vulnerable and she wants to capitalize on it. April brings up the idea that they've been working on, specifically a new proposal where Grizzle will agree, hopefully, to split the land, taking half for their campus and donating half to the National Park Service. And Leslie hopes Grizzle will agree to this because of how badly they screwed up, you know. But Ron seems to think that they're dead set on owning the entire parcel of land. Just then, everyone's cell phones chime in unison, indicating that the Newport Trust is making an announcement right now, live on the air.
Uh-oh.
The gang watches the announcement on Ben's Grizzle pad, where they see Newport CEO Jessica Wicks speaking at a press conference. Jessica relays to all that the Newport Trust told Grizzle that they wouldn't do business with a company that invades privacy. And then Grizzle upped their offer from $90 million to $125 million. And then Jessica Wicks nearly fainted. And then Jessica Wicks directed the Newport Trust to take Grizzle up on the offer because damn, buttload of cash. So Leslie and the gang are crestfallen. They can't believe it. They've lost.
Oh, man. That's tough to hear.
Yeah.
Jessica Wicks. I love Susie Yeagley. She is so
great. I do too.
She's so great.
Married to Kevin Nealon.
Yeah, married to Kevin Nealon. I know. Yeah. Actually, Kevin's coming here. Did you see that? I meant to tell you this. Well, let's talk off air.
To the studio?
I wish. He's going to be a few miles away, though.
Well, are you saying we should, like, watch where his car routes are? And
yes. Follow him. Yeah. No, I think we should go.
Like, convince him that his destination's here?
Yeah. I'm just hoping he brings his wife so we can meet her.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, he won't see that one coming, right?
Yeah.
He's going to think we're there to see him. We're actually there to see Jessica Wicks.
Yeah. He's just a go-between.
He's a go-between.
Yeah.
He probably does feel that way sometimes. Although he's very funny in his own
very
right.
funny.
He's a very
He's been in
guy.
A lot of stuff.
I'm totally joking. Actually, speaking of podcasts, all right, YouTubes or whatever they are, he's got his own. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He does walks with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And they do these walks with people. They're pretty good. They're very entertaining.
That's funny.
I like those. I also like the YouTube Beyonce concert that it's going to be organized by your income and sexual history.
Yeah.
And he promises, though, this is the last time.
That's the last time we're going to peek inside your computer.
Yeah. All I know is if that's the criteria, I'm going to have to watch the concert with binoculars. So,
yeah,
too bad. Well, Mark, we now jump over to Tom's Bistro, where Tom conceives an amazing idea about how to engage with Lucy outside of work and delivers his suggestion in the most elegant way possible.
Oh, geez. Yeah, we now cut to Tom's Bistro, where we see Tom and Donna are preparing to take off for their treat yourself trip.
Robonstantine, play this clip, pretty please.
Hey, boss. Before you go, can you sign some checks?
Do mine first. In case something happens to you, I want to make sure I get paid.
Looking out for number one, always smart. So, how is close breakup life?
Well, breakups are famously super fun and make everyone feel awesome, so it's no different.
You should come to my wedding. It's gonna be hella fun.
Yeah, you should come with me. As like a plus one type thing. Maybe we just go as work friends. Mm. Maybe it's just even, you know, boss, employee type thing. Mm. You know what? That's what you should do. You should come to the wedding and do paperwork. Yeah.
Stop, you're making this sound almost too fun.
Whatever, just text me when you decide. I literally couldn't care less, so. Yeah, let's hit it, Donna.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Can we talk about that disastrous interaction you just had with Lucy?
Nope, all we're talking about is treating yourself. Today's about one thing, things. Things, Donna, our favorite.
Well, where is Blunt's taking us? This is not the way to the mall.
That's because we're not going to the mall. We're finally going to do something we've always talked about.
No way.
Treat yourself. In Beverly Hills.
Wow.
What was Tom holding up there in the back of the limo?
Oh, I don't know.
Please tell me they were plane tickets.
I hope so.
Okay.
But because...
Because a day trip to Beverly Hills does not happen without a plane ride.
Well, you know,
Indiana. On it's the 30-hour drive. I'm just saying.
On the Dukes of Hazzard, when
never mind, you had me at Dukes.
When Bo and Luke want to evade those pesky the sheriffs with also his name Brosco, they find a ramp and like they jump the General Lee over the Bill of Rights or over Roscoe's car, whatever they need
love
to do.
It. Yes.
And I'm assuming that DJ Blunts is just going to find a big ramp and just like and just like jump all the way to Beverly Hills. Otherwise, they're not going to make it.
No, they're not going to make it. I'm pretty sure if you start that ramp in Indiana, you're going to land in the Grand Canyon at best.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, they have to be plane tickets. But you never see them in an airport or anything like
well,
that.
Well, and so, you also see DJ later on, you see DJ Blunts in the limo pull up to the curb. So I'm assuming that there's Stargate technology at work here.
You know what? Let's not get distracted by that.
Yeah. It's fine.
There'll be other things to get distracted by, I think.
It really works. It's fine.
Well, Mark, in hopes that breakfast food truly cures all ailments, Ron, Leslie, Ben, and April, and Andy head to JJ's for some delicious protein and even a few carbohydrates, assuming you're Leslie.
Yeah, we now cut to JJ's Diner, where the gang is drowning their sorrows in waffles and whipped cream and breakfast food. But unfortunately, even this reliable breakfast food-laden sanctuary will not be around for long.
What?
JJ's is closing. When they learn the new landlord isn't even giving JJ a chance to re-up the lease, Leslie and the gang decide to focus their energy, frustration, and passion into one thing Leslie and Ron will always have in common, their love of breakfast food and saving JJ's. Leslie tasks April with getting the word out using whatever methods the young people use these days. She tells Andy to prepare his alter ego, Jonathan Karate, for some dirty work. And most importantly, convinces Ron to join her. In the immortal words of Ron Swanson, I can't think of anything more noble to go to war over than bacon and eggs. Both are AKAs.
Both are AKAs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it when they're trying to, I think JJ's trying to remember the guy's name. So it was a funny name. And Andy says, was it Putin? Voldemort Putin?
I'd love to take that bastard.
Oh my God. So good. That's sweet, stupid Andy. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, Mark, we now jump forward and over to the rally outside of the Thigh Gap LLC headquarters, where local breakfast lovers are sharing their support for JJ's. And Ron gives one of the most stirring speeches since Mussolini?
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we now cut to right outside the I call it the Dennis Feinstein building, where a large number of protesters have assembled. We hear Twisted Sister's We're Not Gonna Take It playing loudly in the background, and everybody's cheering and holding up signs, and Leslie and Ron are at the front of the crowd, kind of on the steps leading up to the building. To their left, we see JJ cheerfully serving up free waffles to anyone who's hungry, and then we hear the music stop, and we see Leslie grab a megaphone, and she starts speaking to the crowd, And after getting them warmed up a little bit, she hands the megaphone over to Ron, who addresses the crowd in typical Swanson fashion.
I do not like rallies, and based on what I see from this vantage point, I do not like most of you. What I do like is breakfast food. JJ's has very good breakfast food, so it should remain open. Please do not approach me on the street after this event in attempt to talk to me. Our similarities begin and end with this single issue. Ron Swanson.
And then massive applause. Yeah,
well done.
No one was insulted. That's great. I love it. Well, Mark, as the rally continues, we get a chance to meet Johnny Karate's older brother and the deadly squad of assassins sent to persuade Dennis Feinstein to do the right thing at any cost.
We now cut to the lobby inside of the Dennis Feinstein building, where we see Andy and a squadron of 5 to 6 little ninja helpers walking to the front lobby.
So cute.
Andy tells receptionist Patty Donconnet, fun with names, to look for an appointment under the name Karate. Jonathan Karate, the very serious older brother of Johnny Karate. Jonathan Karate tells it like it is. He makes people do the right thing.
Sure.
When Patty the receptionist doesn't find an appointment for Karate, Jonathan Karate, Andy does some ridiculous like swishing motions with his hands, and then he and his ninja helpers like duck down to the floor as if they can no longer be seen, which confuses and possibly amuses Patty the receptionist a little bit.
He's missing smoke bombs. He needs some smoke bombs.
I know. Not just go and wave his hands around. And then Andy and his ninja helpers, they're convinced that they're not, that she can't see him now.
Right.
And so they start kind of crawling past the receptionist. And then we cut inside of Dennis Feinstein's office, where we see Dennis at his desk with a VR helmet on, and he's talking out loud about, quite frankly, something that's a little disturbing, so we're going to move on. But we then see Andy.
He ruined Magnum PI for me. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. PIG. And then we see Andy and his ninja helpers enter, and Andy introduces himself, startling Dennis, and then he takes off his VR helmet. He's like, what's going on? Who are you? And Andy mentions JJ's diner, and Dennis acknowledges that, I bought the diner, and I'm kicking everyone out on account of real estate prices are through the roof, and I'm going to make a fortune turning it into, what did he call it? It was the Elbow Art Salon.
It's the Elbow Art Salon.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andy mentions all the protesters assembled outside the building, which seems to surprise Dennis a little bit. And he acknowledges he had no idea that the diner was so loved and that this could be bad for business. And he agrees to come downstairs with Andy and address the assembled crowd.
He says, plus, you really should get these kids out of here. I don't want to brag, but his colognes have been known to stunt human growth.
And then ninjas scatter. And then all the little ninjas, like, they go running away. Like, you got him well trained.
He is impressed with Jonathan Karate's skills.
Yes.
Yes. So, well, while we wait to see if Dennis can be convinced to preserve JJ's, we take a hop, skip, and a jump out to the West Coast with a Beverly Hills-style treat yourself.
Yeah, they came down from the ramp.
It clearly landed on the other side of the Grand Canyon.
Right.
Finished the drive to California. I mean, it all took just an hour or so.
Yeah.
Because they look fresh, same clothes.
Stargate.
It was a Stargate.
It must. Yeah.
It's got to be. I mean, we have robotic assistants sent here from the future. So why isn't this possible?
Yeah, but this isn't feasible.
That's where you draw the line?
Yeah. This is, Alan, this is real.
Oh, okay. Fair
enough. Robotson team back there, this is, that's totally not made up.
See? He's listening.
You could do the Stargate.
He's always listening.
I know. I know. It's really kind of creepy. Scary, the camera's always on. Anyway, so this scene, Alan, this is kind of like a montage of Treat Yourself 2017. Sorry, Treat Yourself 2017 in full swing. So we cut to Beverly Hills, California, Stargate. And then we hear Wild and Peaceful by Kool and the Gang playing as sort of like a soundtrack in the background of this whole montage. And we see Tom and Donna's limo pull up to a curb in Beverly Hills, Stargate. And then they get out and they're all excited and they're acting all fancy. And like we see some photographers taking pictures of Donna as she's all fancy, like she exits the store. And I think Tom paid them to act like it's Donna. Take pictures.
That's pretty cool.
And we see Tom and Donna on a tour bus being led by a tour guide named Devin L. Tour Guide.
No.
That's 100% the name of that character.
I saw it in the cast. You're right. That's crazy.
And then they get to Usher's house and they kind of lose their minds. Like, hey, it's Usher's house. They're all excited and stuff. And then the scene ends with us cutting to Tom and Donna, who are now lounging outside by a pool. And a woman named Trish, who is apparently an elbow art expert, is talking with them about prices for various expensive packages. But Alan, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do on Treat Yourself Day, right?
Sure.
You get elbow art
packages. I want a big ass diamond surrounded by little ass diamonds on my elbow.
Right. Well, that's the supreme package.
That's $600,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Why not? It is Treat Yourself Day.
That's right.
Yep. Didn't she offer Tom LASIK for his fingernails? And we learned that he actually thinks he invented that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Trish is unimpressed. She's like,
no, well, she didn't care.
So do you want it? Like, yes, laser my nails off, please.
I don't know if I want to laser my nails off.
No.
They're there for a reason.
No, maybe one of them.
Sure.
Maybe the snaggle one.
It's the snaggle tooth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Well, back at the rally, Dennis Feinstein joins the action. And surprisingly, it seems Jonathan Karate may have gotten through to him. And as a bonus, we get some coverage on one of his new custom fragrances.
That's right.
See what I did there?
Coverage. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
We now cut back to the protesters outside of the Dennis Feinstein building, and we see Leslie continuing to rile them up, just as Jonathan Karate and Dennis Feinstein come outside to join them.
Robonstantine? Pretty, please play the clip.
We can't bulldoze our entire history. We need to preserve the things that make Pawnee great. Like JJ's Diner.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop the clock.
Speak of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil, Dennis Feinstein.
Hang on. Now, Leslie, I think everybody's going to want to hear what I have to say. Thank you. People of Pawnee, I just came down here to tell you how much I appreciate your passion. You've been heard loud and clear. You convinced me. JJ's can stay.
Yeah!
I just have one more thing to say, Pawnee. Psych!
Uh-oh.
Do you think I care about how much you love this stupid diner? I bought it for a song, and I'm gonna sell it for a mint. And you can all just sit there pulling on your puds. Oh, yeah, give me your booze. I am nourished by your hatred. I should also let you know you're all trespassing on private property. Release the hounds.
What hounds?
The hounds is an FDA-rejected cologne I've been working on that makes everything smell like wet dog. Make it rain!
No, no, no.
Oh, no. Ooh, I gotta go kill my dad. Let's go.
I am sorry, JJ, that I gave you false hope. This is a lost cause, just like my stupid park.
Screw that. There's got to be another way. What if we steal the keys to Feinstein's building, break in and TP his office, film the whole thing? We'd definitely get on a prank show.
Okay, I love your energy, Andy, but it's not going to help us keep JJ's where it is.
Yeah.
Does it have to stay where it is? There's like a ton of buildings near where Andy and I live, and they're all super cheap because they're empty and disgusting.
Great, I'm in. Anything to get away from this cologne smell.
Ooh, water makes it worse. Water makes it worse.
I can almost smell it without being there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back in Beverly Hills, the Treat Yourself ridiculousness goes from luxurious spa to the posh dining table.
That's right. That's right. We now cut back to Beverly Hills, California, where Treat Yourself 2017 is still going strong. We hear California Love by Tupac playing in the background, and we see...
They're in a Bentley now.
Yeah, they're in a Bentley.
Yeah.
And then we see Tom and Donna enjoying themselves at a fancy restaurant where all the sushi is apparently made from fish previously owned by celebrities. Nice. And they're clearly enjoying themselves, but... Donna notices Tom checking his phone again to see if Lucy will come with him to Donna's wedding. And she calls him out. I mean, politely, but still does. And Tom apologizes for being distracted. But Donna understands and offers him some much needed advice. She tells him, if you want to be with Lucy, you have to be upfront with her about it. Be a man and ask her out. And Tom half-heartedly protests, basically saying, well, what if she doesn't feel the same way? And
right.
Donna responds, saying, you won't know until you ask. When it comes to the matters of the heart, I say, treat yourself.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So I realized that in this future projection.
Yeah.
They've actually made some good, you know, prognostication, right? Yeah. The whole Supreme Court thing. The one thing that they suggested might happen that did not, that I'm most disappointed by, Hitch 2, Son of a Hitch, did not come out.
That would be awesome.
That would be great.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, back in Pawnee and the beautiful Beach Terrace neighborhood, we get a look at some of the more appealing real estate options for the future JJ's relocation, where Ron and Leslie finally sync up to join their forces for good.
Yeah, we now cut to the quote, creepy part of Pawnee. This is where April and Andy's house.
Yeah, I think their house is like a block away.
Like the doll factory.
Love it.
Thingy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the area that April was talking about for potentially moving JJ's diner. And it apparently has been given a fancy sounding name by Councilman Dexart.
Of course.
Beachview Terrace was whatever.
Hey, Robonston team. Play the clip, buddy. Thank you.
Don it.
Yep.
Welcome to Beachview Terrace, the sad, unsalvageable, broken-down armpit of Pawnee.
Yeah, we tried to clean up this neighborhood so many times, nothing's worked. We sent a street cleaner through here a few months ago. Raccoons ate the wheels right off it.
Councilman Dexart represents this district, and 10 years ago when he was elected, he promised to clean it up. Instead, he just gave it a fancy new name, Beachview Terrace. A more accurate name for this place? Medical Waste Butt Sweat Grove.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. We've had this listing for 7 years and no one's ever asked to see it. I thought this was a prank call.
This place has everything. Vermin, bullet holes, a hornet's nest.
Look, I appreciate everything that you guys have done for me, but even if I put in the time and the money to refurbish this trash heap, it's not going to change the fact that no respectable people live in this part of town anymore.
Damn straight.
Everything would have to magically change. The whole neighborhood would have to suddenly become safe and clean and have businesses and people who dine out.
No, then we'd have to move again.
Are you thinking?
It's possible.
But how would we PR?
PR, which you could then...
Yes, right. Okay, good. Guys, we have about 5 days to do 3 months worth of work. But if we pull it off, we can rescue JJ's diner, we can establish a new national park, and we can save Pawnee forever. Who's in?
I am.
Oh my God, where'd you come from?
The floor hole.
Where else?
Herman Lurpus makes an appearance.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. Mark, if anybody's gonna be in the floor hole, it's gonna be Herman.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what you do when you're in a floor hole. You get up and you join the crowd.
You do. Yeah. That was a little visual, but we basically have Ron and Leslie getting the same idea, you know, light bulb above their head at the same time.
Yeah, they're looking
time.
At each other and they're shining each other and like reading each other's minds.
Which is what they were trying to do earlier when she was talking about how in sync they were and they couldn't even do a high five right.
Right, right.
But now I think they've gotten there.
Yeah.
They clearly have the same idea.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, we now jump forward to Tom's Bistro, where Tom is back from the West Coast and catching up with the crew who held down the fort.
Yeah, we now cut over to Tom's Bistro, and we see Tom and Donna are back now from their whirlwind Treat Yourself 2017 day trip. And Lucy greets Tom, welcomes him back, and then tries bringing up the topic of Donna's wedding. Mm. But Tom cuts her off, saying that if she's going to join him, he wants it to be as a date. And he even realized that there could be a conflict of interest. So he signed documents transferring day-to-day operations of Tom's Bistro over to Craig, who will now be her boss instead of Tom, which Craig seems to take to this immediately.
Oh, he does.
Tom emphasizes Lucy is great at her job, and he wants her working there for the foreseeable future. And that won't change if she doesn't have feelings for Tom. However, Lucy tells Tom he doesn't have to do this, that she wouldn't want to go with him to Donna's wedding as friends. She would want it to be a date, just like Tom. Tom is clearly relieved and rips up the papers, transferring day-to-day operations over to Craig. Even though Craig was, he was only the boss for a few seconds, but apparently he made a few changes already.
He said, I wish it had lasted longer, but I'm happy with the decisions I made and the people I fired.
God, I got to get back there, see what he did.
Oh, boy. Never leave Craig alone by himself.
Right.
Well, we now bounce back to the Medical Waste Butt Sweat Grove, where the team has taken the last 5 days to prepare for their pitch. And we finally get to learn the details behind Leslie and Ron's PR plan for Grizzle.
That's right. That's right. So we now see white text on the screen 5 days later. And we cut back to Beachview Terrace or Medical Waste Grove,
butt
stinky
sweat,
place.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Where we see Leslie, Ben, April, Andy, and Ron are meeting with Roscoe and another, I think, unnamed Grizzle employee.
Yeah.
Ro Bonstantine?
Play that clip.
You guys, I don't know what this is about, but it's 4:13, so you got 7 minutes.
Well, we just wanted to introduce you to the new home of the Grizzle campus.
Are you tripping? We just spent $125 million to build our new campus in the southern Indiana foothills.
And you'll be spending another $100 million at least to construct the building, roads, plumbing, electrical.
Whereas here at Beachview Terrace, you can take over 5 entire square blocks of historic Pawnee.
Here's a complete proposal for Grizzle's new regional corporate headquarters.
Is this paper? Oh, super throwback.
My company inspected all the buildings. They are disgusting, I grant you, but the guts are solid.
We've laid out construction costs, retail space options. You could build a much bigger campus in this neighborhood and basically break even.
Plus, the best part, all the buildings come pre-graffitied.
It's true. We wouldn't have to hire Banksy. Okay, but we spent hella skrilla on this Trill Forest, so what are we supposed to do with that?
Here's a far-out idea that just came to the top of my brainium. Why don't you donate that land to the National Park Service? That would be pretty dope. And you could get some baller tax breaks. It could help you with that mad stank construction cost. I don't know, I'm sorry. I can't see these words in that.
Okay, but why couldn't we just build the campus here and then keep the land or sell it?
You could, but donating it will give you some good PR, which you desperately need.
I mean, look, we are glad that you picked Pawnee, but if you're gonna set up shop here, you need to make a covenant with the city. Show people that you're invested in this town. Start by cleaning up one part of Pawnee and preserving the other.
Okay, well, I gotta talk to my board as well as our chief legal counsel and our senior advisory team. And truthfully, they're all shrooming super hard at Coachella right now. But as soon as they get back, I'll get into it. Nope. We gotta go. I'm sorry, we got a meeting.
I'll catch you guys later. I've got a meeting as well. See you back at the house.
Andy has a meeting?
Wonder who it could be with.
Well, it's a good thing that Roscoe's Grizzle watch reminded him that it was 4:20.
Did you see the projection from it?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of some sort of plant. I'm unfamiliar.
That's weird. I just thought it was Poison Ivy.
It was Poison Ivy. That's exactly
But then for
what
some
it was.
Reason, the tune is Cypress Hills Hits from the Bong. That's weird.
Huh.
I don't know what connection that has.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some sort of ointment maybe, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's medical.
It is often medical. You're right. Well, Mark, it turns out that the appointment was not as much for Andy as it was for Jonathan Karate and his Ninja Brigade, who have just delivered a final message to Dennis Feinstein.
This is a really funny scene. We cut to Dennis Feinstein's office and we see Dennis walk in and then he looks around and he realizes that someone has TP'd the inside of his office. And he says out loud, like, "Who did this?" And almost as if on cue, Andy and his ninja helpers appear, telling Dennis that one way or another, Jonathan Karate always gets his man. And then Andy does his ridiculous swishing motions with his arms,
yeah.
And then they drop to the floor, and they like he can't see him now.
No.
And so they begin to crawl away because they can't be seen and stuff. And so that would have been a really cool exit, but unfortunately,
yeah,
the cool exit is tarnished a bit because Andy has lost track of at least one of his ninja helpers, and then his name's Gavin, guy that he can't find Gavin.
Yeah.
And he asks the kids where Gavin is, and is Gavin pooping? And don't laugh about Gavin pooping because his buddy should be with him. And who's Gavin's buddy? And then he realizes, oh, Gavin's been here all along, but then Hunter's not here.
Missing.
So where's Hunter? And then he starts to panic a bit. He looks up. He looks sheepishly at Dennis and goes, "Oh, Dennis, what a mess." And Dennis says, "You have 30 seconds to get out of this facility." He's probably going to release the hounds again.
I think he's released the hounds.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst part for Andy was that it turned out they even had the buddy system.
Yeah.
Who was Hunter's buddy? It was Andy.
It was Andy. Yeah.
He was too busy going and lost track of him.
Look, it's very difficult to multitask.
And it is.
When you are, you can't be aware of everything.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Sorry, Hunter.
We'll find you on the way out.
Yeah.
Assuming we didn't get sprayed with the FDA rejected cologne.
Yeah.
Well, in the kicker, we jump forward another week and catch up with Ron and Leslie for a late night toast at the Very Good Building Company. And we get to see how Grizzle has responded to their plan.
That's right. It's a week later. We now cut over to the Very Good Building and Development Company, where we see Leslie sitting with Ron in his office, both of them sipping a glass of Lagavulin, talking about next steps.
Robonstantine, play us out, please.
I don't know, Ron. I mean, it's been a week. It might not work.
It'll work.
But what if it doesn't? What if we did all that research and handed Grizzle a fully formed plan to revitalize an entire neighborhood and build a new national park, and their board still says no?
Then you'll be secure in the knowledge that you gave it your best shot. But I do really think they will go for it.
What makes you so confident?
A wise woman once told me that whenever you and I team up, good things happen.
Aw.
Also, they called 3 hours ago, said they approved the plan, and asked me to begin drawings for the renovation.
You jerk! You sat on that news and let me stew here for 3 hours.
Yep.
You jerk! We did it! You jerk! We did it!
Yep. Congratulations.
Oh, hugging coming.
I do not approve of this.
Don't care.
Fade to black.
Fade to black. It's really nice to see, regardless of anything else they accomplish, it's just nice to see them not at odds with each other.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and showing that they do work well together in their own way.
It's much better to combine their powers for good than it is evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice. So I guess we know what the next chapter is going to be about.
What that is?
Well, the Grizzle's going to take that land.
Oh.
That may mean we're going to get a national park.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, how much can they do on that?
I don't know.
What else is going to happen?
I don't know. We'll see. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Let's compare our notes. We'll come back and we'll wrap this thing up.
All right. Let's do it, man.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Are you in the mood for heaping plates of outstanding breakfast food? No? What the f*** is wrong with you?
Now, Ron, while I appreciate your help trying to save my restaurant, you know I don't approve of that kind of salty language.
Are you in the mood for outstanding breakfast food as far as the eye can see? If not, then God have mercy on your soul. However, for purposes of this commercial, I will make the assumption that your answer was yes, in which case let me tell you a little story about a place I love, a magical place called JJ's Diner. Hello, this is Ron Swanson. JJ's Diner is owned by the great JJ Lipscomb and has been a staple for the citizens of Pawnee since its opening in 1976. It was previously located at 122 Sunderland between Tramp Stamp Tattoos and the Chlorotec Cadmium Refinery. At least it was until that rat bastard Dennis Feinstein decided to purchase the property and deny Mr. Lipscomb the opportunity to renew his lease.
Now, Ron, you know my lawyer asked you to be careful with what you say. Mr. Feinstein's a resourceful man and clearly has anger management issues.
Anyway, as it turns out, through several clever and fortuitous machinations, JJ's Diner has been reborn like the proverbial phoenix. Its new location is now in Beachview Terrace, which is also, coincidentally, the site of Grizzle's new campus. Now, I have heard for quite some time that, allegedly, JJ's Diner is the meeting place for Pawnee's political elite. I don't know what that means. In fact, I have never known what that means and would prefer to simply ignore it. What I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that JJ's Diner is still open 24 hours a day, and that breakfast food continues to be the only food I need at any of those 24 hours. Now, this is the part where you are probably expecting to hear me proffer their bacon and eggs. While I do prefer, and always will prefer, bacon and eggs, a recent mending of ways with a friend or workplace proximity associate has convinced me to get a new menu item added to JJ's. The Swan Snope. I still don't like that name.
Ron, once again, I really appreciate what you're doing today, but I'm paying by the minute, so can you wrap it up?
yes. The Swan Snope is a heaping pile of eggs within a bacon fortress, all built on top of a waffle base encircled by a moat of whipped cream and syrup. I have to admit, it's not bad. So, when you next have a free morning, be sure to make your way to Beachview Terrace and visit the new location of the often imitated but never duplicated JJ's Diner. Thank you. That is all.
Ron, that was a super nice job. As a treat, I whipped up a new sandwich. I call it the Bacon Landslide just for you. So come get some grub.
Well, why the f*** didn't you say so? Move out of the way.
All right, everybody, we're back. Well, Mark, we'll do our thing here and get started with deleted scenes. This week, last week we had quite a few. We had seven, and I think we were of the opinion that those would have made an excellent producer's cut.
Yeah.
This week we had fewer minutes worth, only 3 minutes, 40 seconds, but more scenes. We actually had 11 scenes.
Right.
And I think this is one of those weeks where I'm pretty good with the decisions they made.
I think I am too. I missed two things. One was just because Jonathan Karate and his little ninja helper squadron, just crack me up.
They do, yeah.
And there is an extra scene where apparently some Pawnee citizen is just walking along and he decides that he's going to take this piece of paper. He's going to wad up this piece of paper.
He litters.
He's a litter bug is what he is. He throws it on the ground. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jonathan Karate and his little ninja helpers confront him. And, you know, it's like, sir, do you know what you're doing? Because if everybody did what you do, then the place would look like this. And he motions to one of his little ninja helpers and he just he pushes over a trash can.
He wants to demonstrate how bad it could be.
Yeah, it's demonstrating. And then he's like, ninjas disperse. And then they disappear because smoke grenade.
Yeah.
Invisible.
Thank God they didn't litter. Oh, wait.
That just cracked me up.
What was the other one you liked?
The other one I like was is a throwaway, but it was an extended scene right after Leslie talks with Ron. This is at the very beginning where she talks to him about all the cool stuff that they've done in the past.
Yeah.
A Harvest Festival, which is a good nod, tip of the hat. Unity concert, great tip of the hat.
Yep.
Brisket Con.
I love Brisket Con.
That made me laugh.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a whole day dedicated to brisket. What could be better, right?
Oh, and the other one is where apparently Jerry gets inspired by Treat Yourself Day. And right as Donna and Tom are about to take off, and he's like, I'm going to treat myself today. I'm going to go to the Snirling Dairy and get some fresh buttermilk. And the look that they give him.
It's all in silence, too. And they're both just staring daggers at him. And he's got this big grin on his face at first.
Yeah.
And then it just fades away.
Right, right.
Kind of sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, you know, one man's trash is another man's buttermilk or something. Nope. I don't know how the expression goes.
Have you ever drank buttermilk straight?
God, no.
Well, don't, because it's not enjoyable.
I know the premise. I sampled it. Oh boy, do I. No.
I'll tell you who.
Drinking buttermilk straight. Other people have talked about that, and I've even heard people put it in their coffee and all kinds of weird stuff.
No,
and
you shouldn't put it in your coffee.
There's all kinds of stuff. Like protein coffee? Oh my God.
Yeah. No.
No.
Mm-mm. Unsubscribe.
They don't sell that at Arbucks yet.
Nope.
But they are going to be copying I can't say their name, the one with the ST. They now have coffees that feature olive oil in them. I don't know how I feel about this. It's supposed to lubricate your bowels. Honestly, let's not go there.
I can't wait for this section to end. Like, what are we doing now?
I don't know. Where are we in the show? Oh, yeah, deleted scenes. I think those three are probably the best three, honestly.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? There was one more, I will say.
What's
that? Craig goes up to Lucy and says, if you hurt him, so help me, yeah. I will end you.
Right.
And she says, oh, I'm Lucy, by
the way.
Have we met?
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny.
And that would have only been a few seconds. I think that was a scene extension. So they easily could have thrown that in there.
I think, we had a 21:32 runtime.
And that would have been like an extra 6 seconds.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. But, you know, network time is network time.
No, I get it.
Time is money, and money is, well, I don't
pizza.
Know.
Pizza's power.
Money's pizza's power.
I think that's where we wound up.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, how about tropes first and fun facts? Let's get into that.
I did abysmal with first.
Okay. I didn't do great.
I only had one. I know there's got to be others out there, but they eluded me. Okay. I said that we first learn about Johnny Karate's older, more serious brother, Jonathan Karate.
Yeah, I had that one. We meet Jonathan Karate.
What else?
We learn that JJ's is threatened. I mean, it's a give me.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I said Ron speaks at a public event. Now, you can correct me, but I can't remember him ever taking the microphone, especially on someone else's or some other cause's behalf, in speaking to the public.
You may be right. You may be right. I mean, if you were wrong, it would be something
still
like,
so rare.
You know what? The only thing I can think of, and I still agree with you, by the way, but remember when Leslie and Ron were at the prom and Ron comes up and takes the microphone, but he only does so because he's dragging Leslie off the stage.
That's right.
This is different.
This is a little different.
I give you this one.
Yeah. He was just excusing them from the room.
Yes. Right.
That was more for Leslie than it was for him.
Right. Yeah.
But so is this, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
How about tropes?
Tropes had Punching Bag Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
Right there at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I always say Jerry, Larry, Terry, Gurgich, Gangrich, because it's all the names and stuff. I combine some because there's so many Leslie and Ron. So I say, instead of just saying Leslie and then Ron, I say Leslie and Ron love breakfast food.
Yep.
Leslie and Ron love JJ's Diner.
Yep.
Leslie and Ron respect each other.
Yep.
Ron loves Lagavulin.
Yeah. Leslie drinks with him.
Yes.
Out of respect.
Which, by the way, clink and drink.
Clink and drink.
Which is something that they try to introduce, I think, as a common theme all the way back in season one.
Yeah.
And they've occasionally had it, but not like a routine thing.
Yeah. Not as much as I think they could have.
Right. Which is okay.
Yeah. That's right.
The Swanson giggle.
Yeah.
I said, woodworking Ron only because he was involved in some capacity in checking out the building structures. Grizzle tasked him and very good development company to be in charge of the renovations.
That's true.
It's a stretch, but I called it that.
I think it counts. And we had a scene there at the VGBG ND. I always forget the ND.
Yeah. ND. You can't forget the D.
No, don't forget the D. It's all about the D. Moving on.
You're going to lose your parking space. Okay, alter egos.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Johnny Karate, and more specifically, Jonathan Karate, little ninja helpers.
Yeah.
Because of the floor hole, we're lousy with lurpuses.
I love it.
fun with names.
Yep.
And one we haven't had in a while. As they were kind of going around a Beachview Terrace and kind of investigating the properties.
Yeah.
Pawnee raccoon infestation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'd been a minute.
Yeah.
Boy, was it infested.
Yeah.
Well, it's Dexart's district, so. We've heard it's
mainly just raccoon shanty towns and old battery containers.
Love it.
Whatever. Yeah. Did I miss any? What you got?
I had DJ Blunts.
Oh, nice. Good one.
Treat Yourself, of course.
Oh my gosh. How could I miss that?
That's okay. I mean, leave the obvious, easy ones for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I said, it's the first time we've ever seen, we've gone to Beverly Hills.
Through the Stargate.
Through the Stargate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to get hung up on that too much until at least it's my turn to score this, but how about goofs and fun facts, Mark?
How about that? I had no goofs. How about you? Unless you just Stargate. I mean, you know, speak now or forever hold your teleportation device.
No, I realize that the one here is from 4 episodes ago. So damn it, copy and paste.
Well, it's a true goof then.
My goof is my goof.
Well done.
Yes. My captain. How about fun facts?
I think that, The only one that I took real note of is, remember how at a certain point they're sitting in Leslie's office and all of a sudden you hear everyone's cell phones chime all at once.
Yes.
And it's when Jessica Wicks is making the announcement.
Yeah.
The cell phone chime sound that they have is the same one that they use on the TV series Shark Tank.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I've certainly seen the Shark Tank a couple times, but maybe twice ever. So I wouldn't have recognized that.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, they usually do it when like they say like, we'll offer you this. And then they do the little thing nice. And, you know, like,
nice.
He just made you an offer. That's I sing that in the background when they do it.
Yeah. Meet George Shetson's what you just sang there. Which is apropos. We're in the future.
Flying Jones Skybot. Whoa, catch you later.
Yeah, we talked about this like, I don't know, 8 or 10 episodes ago. We're at the time in the future that the Jetsons supposedly took place.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have flying cars.
But we have been promised over and over about that.
I'll tell you what, though. Mm. This year at CES, for the first time, the Consumer Electronics Show in January.
Yeah, that one.
There was a prototype with some real weight behind it on an actual flying vehicle for the first time ever. I think we may be on the precipice of that becoming a real thing. And I'm not joking. I'm skeptical, but
I'm
not joking.
Was this car attached to a big catapult? Because I've seen that.
Well, yeah, that works that's really clearly well how you once. Get from Indiana to Beverly Hills
right.
as well. Catapult, a ramp, something.
It works well once.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mark, the only fun fact I had was I've already said it. It is actually a 30-hour drive to get from where Pawnee roughly is in Indiana to Beverly Hills. Not an easy day
right.
trip.
It's interesting you call that a fun fact, not a goof.
Well, I'm not going to harp on it. So I just wanted to, the actual mileage is 30 hours.
That's interesting. Yeah. That is a fun fact.
I mean, so that's a whole day. You're right. Definitely not going to be, well, if you are in the same clothes, you're not going to smell very good.
Right, yeah. right.
And they surely stop for gas somewhere.
I mean, you would think so.
That limo gets like 3 miles to a gallon.
I mean, I don't know. It could be one of these new electric limos.
It could be. Just block their parking spaces. Oh, boy. Anyway. Hey, let's get into the scores then, Mark. I think we're at that point.
All right. Let's do that.
All right.
My co-MVPs for this episode are Amy Poehler as Leslie Knope and Nick Offerman as Ron Swanson.
Okay.
You know, Ellen, I remember this episode. Sometimes we'll be reviewing some of these and like, I don't remember this from the first time I saw it. I remember this episode, but honestly, despite the fact that I remember it, I was pleasantly surprised. And I found myself enjoying the Leslie Ron team up in this episode far more than I thought that I would.
Fair.
I've really liked Leslie lately. As a matter of fact, this is the third episode in a row where I've included her as one of my co-MVPs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was good both on her own and as a pairing with Nick Offerman as Ron Swanson, who I thought was just on fire.
Yeah, the hero was.
Watching them work together, enjoy breakfast together, awkwardly try to do handshakes together, try to take down Grizzle together,
yep.
Come up with solutions together, clink and drink together. It was all delightful. And I thought it really just brought everything to life and made it work.
Nice.
I love the return of Dennis Feinstein. So first of all, I would watch Jason Mantzoukas in almost anything.
And we have.
He is
everything.
A delightful yeah. mix of funny, crazy, yeah. and just a tad creepy.
Was the first time I ever became aware of him was in The League.
Me too.
Okay. Which, if you haven't seen The League, go watch it. Do yourself a favor because he's even crazier
there.
Yeah,
don't let your kids
there.
Watch The League.
No, don't watch it with your kids.
But
or your
it.
Little ninjas. But do watch it. Yes.
Seeing older serious brother Jonathan Karate get his man by TPing Dennis Feinstein's office was priceless. As was Mr. Karate's mobile squadron of tiny little ninja helpers.
That's right.
I will say at first it was a little surprising that Dennis Feinstein didn't remember meeting Andy before, especially since Andy took that first opportunity to call him a dick to his face.
You think he'd remember that?
But then again, maybe he's self-absorbed enough to make it believable. Like, you know, who are you? You're not important. I don't know.
And how many people have probably called him a dick, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing a few.
Yeah.
He's hunted all of them, but
yeah, they aren't around anymore.
They're not here anymore.
Just saying. I also love the return of Treat Yourself. What a perfect present
that
for
nice.
Tom, particularly to give Donna as her official butler of honor, which I know is totally a title he made up, but totally fitting and totally funny.
It works.
If only they could have incorporated Sad Batman into the day, it would have been perfect.
But we'd come full circle, wouldn't we?
But at least they did explore elbow art.
Yeah.
And Josh Groban.
The whole joke, the shtick there, we didn't talk much about it when we broke it down, was that, you know, you're at a sushi place where all the sushi is made from fish previously owned by celebrities.
Yeah.
And Groban was so baller that he ordered the Josh Groban.
Yeah. that, like, hey, I remember Fred, who I used to own. Like, serve up Fred to me.
I'm going
to
eat him.
Yeah.
Tom's like, man, that's the most baller thing I've ever seen.
I'm putting some butter on you, baby. I thought Tom's willingness to go to great lengths to put Lucy at ease was very sweet. And it also was very funny. Like, I love Craig's ultra short.
He was super professional of him, actually.
Yes, he was. Yeah. It was. I agree. I love Craig's ultra short reign as Tom's new restaurant manager. I mean, he was in the kitchen for mere seconds before Tom changed his mind. And he still came out saying, I'm happy with the decisions I made and the people I fired. Like, yikes. Talk about hitting the ground running.
That was funny.
I like the smart solution. At least I think this was. I like the smart solution they came up with for both the Newport Land parcel and JJ's Diner. I realize that it may arguably have been a bit of a deus ex machina, but it really worked for me. Like, Leslie got Grizzle to buy the land for her, donate the land to the National Park Service, while at the same time cleaning up April and Andy's whole neighborhood and providing Ron and the good folks at the very good building and development company a substantial project for presumably a good amount of money. You know,
but honestly, it's believable in the sense that the detail there was enough to make it believable. But if you drill into it a little bit, I think this is actually a really good idea in this scenario. Like, they're right. Building in the middle of a forest, all of the infrastructure would be crazy expensive.
Yeah.
And this is good for Pawnee. It's the whole PR thing, which was that, you know, the light bulb moment they had was PR solve this. That's their big problem. Let's help them solve it. And we all win. So it's like the triple win, right? The win, 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 as Michael would say.
Right.
So I don't know. I liked it. I found it, while not maybe 100% believable enough to enjoy.
And I think
more than the car ride to Beverly Hills.
I think the implication, at least to me, it was a heavy implication at the end, is because Grizzle's coming in and cleaning up the neighborhood, JJ is now going to have a place to move his diner and actually have a decent customer base, at least once the area gets going.
I think that's right.
You know, plus, by the way, once Grizzle is done cleaning up April and Andy's neighborhood, I'm betting they're going to be able to sell their place for like 10 times the amount.
I was thinking that too. They're going to make hella cash when they sell that house. So good for them.
They're going to be making bank.
Bank.
For me, this sort of had a similar feel as Harvest Festival in season 3, because in the sense that a lot of things came to a head, mostly in a good way, and there was a lot of payoff, and yet here we are halfway through the season, just like we were halfway through season 3 with Harvest Festival.
That's true.
And it kind of feels like this episode, I'm partially guessing, but it kind of feels like this episode is a virtual dividing line between part 1 of season 7 and part 2. And we'll see if I'm right as we continue to review the rest of the episodes.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. Enough of that, onto the crazy Mark rubric. I'm going to give this a 4.5 base score. I thought the A story was fantastic. And the B story, I would say, while outshone by the A story, was still good.
I mean, just in screen time, it has to be outshone.
Yes, yes.
Should be.
I'm going to give an entire point for what I considered a great job by my episode co-MVPs, Amy Poehler as Leslie Knope and Nick Offerman as Ron Swanson. I'm going to give half a point for what I thought was a nice use of their deep comedic bench, including a great list of guest stars, including, and by the way, Alan, I realized that we didn't go through this in exactly the same timing as last time, but I split my list of guest stars here into Not Done Yet, Saying Goodbye, and One and Done.
Okay.
So first of all, Not Done Yet. The bombastic Billy Eichner as Craig Middlebrooks.
Yep.
The hilarious Keegan-Michael Key as Donna's soon-to-be husband, Joe.
Yep.
The great Natalie Morales as Lucy Santo Domingo.
Yep.
Saying Goodbye. So this is their last episode. The very talented Susan Yeagley as Newport CEO Jessica Wicks. The incredible Jason Mantzoukas as cologne mogul and possible hunter of humans, Dennis Feinstein.
You've got him in Saying Goodbye, right?
Yep.
Okay, sorry.
The great, great Brent Briscoe as JJ Lipscomb, owner and proprietor of JJ's Diner, last appearance, and rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah, definitely.
But I saw him recently on House.
Did you really?
He was in season 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about House. I think I am going to have to watch it for the first time.
There is an episode of House where he described three cases to all at once to a room of med students.
Yeah.
And Brent Briscoe played the farmer in one of the three cases in their imagination. It was really, really good. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting distracted.
Yep.
Also saying goodbye, the remarkable Richard Birch as nitrous-loving Herman Lurpus.
Gotta love him.
Saying goodbye, the amazing Jorma Taccone as Grizzle VP of Cool New Shiz, Roscoe Santangelo.
Yeah, one third of the Lonely Island.
Yep. Yep. Saying goodbye, Alan McLeod as Trod Frankensteep.
Oh, my God.
And finally, saying goodbye, Adrian Ziegler as DJ Blunts.
There you go.
One and done's. I had Susan Isaacs as the realtor Martha.
Yeah. Michael, I don't think so.
What?
No.
Really?
We've met realtor Martha twice before.
Have we really?
Yeah. She was the one that gave them the listing, I believe, for the crazy spooky house. No, that's not true. You know where we met her before?
I do not.
So when Leslie had found the place that she wanted to buy, but thought she was going to have to give up, where Ben proposed to her.
Oh, I see.
She was the listing agent for that.
Very good. Well, then
to move her up to saying goodbye.
The last appearance then. Yeah, you're right. Yep. Michael Daniel Cassidy as Devin L. Tour Guide. I love that name.
Of all the fun with names, it's so on the nose. It may be the best one of all.
Darcy Donovan as Dennis Feinstein's receptionist, Patty Donconnet.
Yeah.
And the great Josh Groban as himself.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing online, they also listed, and I dispute this.
Sure.
They also listed Will McLaughlin as Officer Killnose.
Yeah.
I went through all the deleted scenes. I went through the normal episode. I don't think he's in this. I think that was a mistake. I couldn't find him anywhere. And he's still coming up in another episode.
He's got later. One more episode to go. I did look at that too. Interesting. You're right. I don't remember seeing him here.
So anyway, this is a long rambling like score for me.
Yeah.
All the craziness I just said, that's a half point.
Fair enough.
For the comedic bench and the guest stars. Okay.
No, that's good.
So just quick recap. 4.5 base score, 1 point for my co-MVPs, half a point for the deep comedic bench and guest stars. Okay. Continuing on.
Yeah.
Another half point for what I call the JJ combo. Seeing Leslie and the gang rally behind their dear friend, JJ Lipscomb, and his diner, including the protester rally and Ron's terse speech to them. I'm going to give half point for what I call the Dennis Feinstein combo. Jason Mantzoukas reprises his role as the crazy funny and crazy cologne mogul Dennis Feinstein in, sadly, his last appearance. I'm going to give half point for what I call the Jonathan Karate / Ninjas combo. Like the Purdipal's court in the last episode, every time I saw Jonathan Karate and his squadron of ninja helpers, I felt disproportionately giddy. Yeah. I love that. It just makes me laugh, especially when Andy like waves his arm and they throw a pretend smoke grate on the ground and they scatter. I love that.
He does have those little guys trained really well.
He does. Half a point for what I call the Beachview Terrace combo. In my opinion, an example of clever writing, and they managed to resolve both the Newport land parcel issue and the JJ's Diner issue with one fell swoop, not only wrapping up a semi-season-long arc, but giving the great JJ Lipscomb a great final bow as the show nears its end. Mm. I'm going to give half a point for what I call the treat yourself combo. Tom and Donna have always worked well as a pairing, and this paid particular homage to one of their greatest traditions, and also managed to let Tom have a glimmer of hope with regards to Lucy. It's by no means in the bag, but hopefully heading in the right direction. Finally, I'm going to give half point for the bookend combo. The cold open where we see Tom bring back Treat Yourself one last time before Donna's wedding, and then the kicker where Leslie and Ron clink and drink, and Ron tries to hold in a giggle as he plays the joke on Leslie, and Leslie finds out that Grizzle went for their plan, and she gives Ron a long hug, which Ron acknowledges, but does not approve of.
Does not approve of.
Right. So we add all those crazy mark points up. 9.0 Little Sebastians. I really like this more than I expected to. I forgot a lot of the nuances here. It's weird. It's sad saying goodbye to all these people now, but man, this has been a good run for the show. So anyway, 9.0 Little Sebastians. That's my review. Rock the scuba.
All right. Nice job.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about the pairings of these episodes, right? We've got, before with this one, Save JJ's, we also had 7.5 aired at the same time.
Right. Right? Grizzlebox.
Yeah. I forgot the name for a second. So anyway, easy one to forget, I guess.
Yeah.
But I felt like in some ways, this was a better episode than Grizzlebox. In other ways, it was not. So for me, I was like, I don't know. I I think watching them together had a certain effect on me that it might not have had had I watched them fully separately like we had been most of the run, honestly.
I'm both intrigued and confused by your thesis.
Me
go on.
Me too. That's the problem, I think, right? Well, first, let me start with this.
Yeah.
So my co-MVPs were Reddit and Aziz. And it was mostly in honor of Treat Yourself 2017, right? It was a very entertaining. It was the lesser of the two storylines by a measure for sure. And yet, and I feel exactly the way you do about the performances by Nick and Amy in this case. I mean, it's hard not to give them credit for that. But I figured you were going to. So I just wanted to also honor Aziz and Retta because I thought they did a really good job here.
I agree.
I like their interactions together. I mean, in the way that Ron and Leslie can now finish each other's sentences and share the same thought, Donna and Tom have had that relationship for a long time.
I agree.
This was the best version of it.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Donna's about to get married and Tom's kind of coming into his own. He's a mogul now in the real sense. He's actually.
And hopefully on the precipice of a real relationship.
Yeah. So good for him. Right.
Yeah.
So things are probably about to change for them. So this may be their last big blast together. So
yeah.
I thought it was good to call it out. I'm, you know, the whole Beverly Hills thing is kind of funny to me, but, you know, in terms of the unreality of it, but it was very entertaining. So I'm going to give them that.
Maybe there's a Beverly Hills, Indiana.
There could be.
I don't know.
I wouldn't shop there, but sure, why not? Definitely would not eat sushi there.
This is in the future. I don't know what new towns may crop up all of a sudden.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Although technically, isn't that in the past for us? Their future.
Let's just move on.
We're in a paradox. We're in a time warp, Mark. So one thing that kind of bothered me.
Mm.
We both love the kicker. Love the kicker in 7.5. There's all this energy of let's go get them.
Right.
What happened to that in this episode? Like it's just gone. It's not like Ron's not mad at the beginning. I just felt like because, and this is what I mean by watching them together. I think because I did that, I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's get it done. He's got a shotgun. Let's go shoot some people.
At the end of 7.5, Ron's attitude was akin to Liam Neeson's in Taken.
Yeah.
Like he was like, I am going to bleep you up.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just mean, oh, we want to get a land parcel. I'm going to freaking war. I'm going to call you bad names on Facebook. I'm going to tell you that your mom doesn't love you and your ears stick out. I'm going to key your car. Like I'm
whatever
going,
it takes.
You know, balls to the wall, whatever. Yeah. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Because it kind of went, you know, I mean, it powered down a little bit. So
it became not so much about, in my opinion, it became not so much about destroying Grizzle as it did. Let's get this land for the National Park Service, which
and good, save JJ's, which again is the
which
theme
good,
of the episode.
But it did kind of take the focus away from, I'm going to destroy you, Grizzle.
Yep.
Yeah. I get that.
His anger, her enjoyment, and like, just like you could see, she just like, what is he going to do? Right. Nothing, pretty much.
Right.
Got to get out a calculator and his pen and paper and help you figure this out. So while I'm very satisfied with what they did and how they work together and the same, all the things you mentioned, and, you know, like I said, it's even somewhat plausible and I'm happy for April and Andy and their neighborhood. And I'm sorry for the raccoons because I don't know what's going to happen to them. Maybe they'll go to the zoo.
I think that they're going to migrate to Greater Pawnee and they're going to get all the raccoon shanty towns now.
They could.
Because you know how, like, if you have a house next door and they get sprayed for bugs?
That's, oh, I know.
Where do they go?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Right
definitely.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yep. Same thing with, like, mice and snakes and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we got those here.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
No, it's not good. I live in the woods, which is beautiful, but no.
Yeah.
No. No. Just don't let your neighbors do that.
Yeah. You need to not do that.
You need to just get 9 cats. Better my cats. My cats are horrible. They won't do nothing.
Yeah, your cats are shiftless layabouts.
Really are.
Yeah.
Oh, most cats are layabouts. I mean, let's be honest. But at least they go after mice. Mine are just like, hey, look, there's a mouse. Do something about that.
Yeah. Well, then they ask the mouse to like go get him a drink or something.
Yeah.
Like they're like Robonstein team.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get mad if the mouse didn't come back with the drink. At least I got hope there.
Right. Or maybe they'll send the mouse into the future, then make a robotic mouse to like go get him a drink.
That's just stupid.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, back to this show. I think that was probably my biggest disappointment in the episode. I think if I'd watched this on its own, I think I probably would have given this a 9. At the time I scored it, I watched them together and I gave them both 8.5. Mm. Not bad score. Mm. Just, I didn't fully appreciate it on its own because of what I felt like I was missing in the buildup from the previous episode, literally seconds ago.
Yeah.
So while I appreciate we did this for a reason, because NBC kind of set us on this path, I wish I hadn't, because I don't disagree with your 9 for all the reasons you mentioned. It's a solid, good episode. And it probably on par might be a little funnier than the last episode. But it certainly has all the relationship payoffs that we've just discussed. So I think on its merits, I have no problem giving it a 9. But at the time, I gave it an 8.5.
I think when I saw Ron at the kicker for the last episode, I was like, this is only going to satisfy me if we end up in like a Michael Bay Independence Day lasers and robots.
I want explosions.
And bombs,
like, seriously,
like,
yes.
Like, this
yeah.
is the, we're taking you down yeah. like in every way possible.
Yeah.
And I get that because viscerally, that's yeah. exactly like at that moment, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
The only reason that I think that didn't bother me quite to the degree it bothered you is I thought by taking advantage of Grizzle being over a barrel, so to speak, I mean, because of PR or whatever,
yeah.
they essentially A, had Grizzle pay millions and millions and millions and millions it's of true. Dollars on their behalf for this parkland. They're given the parkland. Then on top of that, they're cleaning up a neighborhood. They get a chance to save JJ's, and April and Andy are going to come out like buku bucks ahead. Ron's company gets a lot of business
from
him.
Oh, sure. He's going to win big,
too. So it's like a win, 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 winly, win, win. Now, is that the bombastic mm-hmm. explosions?
No.
I'm coming at you with a machete.
Yeah.
Axe cop. You know, I mean, is it like all that? It's not, but it's vengeance in a much more purposeful.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
And I think I could have been more satisfied if they had just simply said, and take that, Grizzle. Like, even just something.
Yeah.
Just to tie it together. So it wasn't like just what the hell happened to it. It's gone.
That's a great observation. That's a great observation. Just a small thing would have made a lot of difference.
Would have made a big difference.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, Ron's going to make a bunch of money on this.
Right.
And
not that he needs it.
I don't think he needs it, but at the same time, I mean, he's got all that gold. Well, we don't know that first fact.
No, you've said too much.
I've said too much. But, you know, I mean, his little son, you know, Terrence, I mean, he's going to make out.
What is your issue? It's John Swanson.
John Swanson.
With
it
Lord
rhymes with Ron. See, that's my problem. I can't remember it.
Is that your problem?
I got into it's one of them. I got a list here, Mark. You want to see it?
Like, I think you need a personal.
This came assistant. Out of my session with Dr. Nygaard.
Oh, my God.
Good, solid episode. I'm excited about where we're headed. I feel like we're on an upward trajectory no matter what at this point in season 7. And, you know, I'm hoping it only gets better as we finish out the series.
I would agree with that. I stand by my mind, but by 9, but I understand your 8.5. And yeah. I think you would agree that you could understand it stretching to 9.
I mean, we don't do quarter points here because we know what happens.
I know,
but
I know.
Boy, would have been easy.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I totally get that.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. I think
and again, it all goes back to that definition of what makes a 10. We've had so few of them,
yeah.
you know, and I think you'd agree it wasn't a 9.5 either.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a gap there. And, you know, whether it's 8.5 or 9 or somewhere in the middle, none of that's wrong necessarily. I think there was a lot of satisfying stuff in this episode. It makes it worth watching.
I think regardless, I think one thing has been made very, very clear that season 7 is by no means like puttering on fumes. I think that they're doing solid, solid episodes and good for them.
Impressive. And again, I think when we talked about it was our season 6 recap where you read a little bit about some of Mike Schur's thinking about why they were changing things up, doing this future jump. I mean, it's pretty ballsy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's certainly risky.
Yeah.
I think it's paying off.
I do too.
It's not super ridiculous. I mean, some of their future state vision stuff didn't come true, of course, but I don't know if that matters. Like, that wasn't why I enjoy the time jump. I think it's just that they were able to change the narrative a little bit to kind of change So we just didn't feel repetitive.
Right.
That's what most shows suffer for by the time they get to a season six or seven.
You know what? You know how we had the list of goodbyes that we said?
Yeah.
I wonder if a goodbye is, I mean, we said the great J.J. Brent Briscoe as J.J. Lipscomb, but J.J.'s Diner, maybe? Like, I don't know if we ever come back to it.
I don't remember. I'm ashamed to say I don't remember. It's possible. I don't either. If we do, J.J. certainly won't be there. I mean, at least based on what we know about the credits.
Right.
So.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. We haven't thought about places so much.
Yeah.
Let's give that some thought for next week, and maybe we can put some notes together on that.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, nice job, Mark. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Please go on Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. We actually just got a new 5-star review, and we want to thank that viewer. It was really appreciated.
Right.
And you don't have to give us 5 stars. Please do. But, you know, do give us some feedback. We'd love to hear it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Live from Pawnee is a copyrighted production of the creators. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved. Original music was created and performed by Aaron Emerson of Emerson Studios. Clips are used under fair use doctrine for the purpose of commentary and parody. Please see our website at livefrompawnee.com for more details or to contact us.